Just in time for our New Year's resolutions, this story is told with those good intentions in mind. A woman in our diet club was lamenting that she had gained weight. She made her family's favorite cake over the weekend, she reported, and they'd eaten half of it at dinner. The next day, she said, she kept staring at the other half until finally she cut a thin slice for herself. Well, one slice led to another, and soon the whole cake was gone. The woman went on to tell us how upset she was with her lack of self-discipline and how she knew that her husband would be extremely disappointed. Everyone commiserated with her until someone asked what her husband said when he found out. She smiled and said, well, he never did find out. I just made another cake and ate half. That, folks, is the way to diet. I like that kind of diet. All right, let me ask you this. Can our goals and our resolutions have anything to do with Christian discipline? Last week, we talked about the chronology of Christian discipline and when it is first parental, when our children learn from Bible reading and Bible believing parents, oftentimes this discipline is successful. But then what? I mean, what comes after parental Christian discipline for these children who grow into adulthood? A December 2014 study conducted by Lifeway Research found that about 70% of young adults stopped attending church after school. 97% attributed their decision to life changes, citing such reasons as they just wanted a break from church, or they moved to college, or work hindered attendance. 58% blamed their decision on the perceived hypocrisy, unfriendliness, or disconnect with their church or pastor. Even worse, some might suggest, 52% simply changed their Christian views and became either agnostic or atheistic. Chronologically speaking, shouldn't parental Christian discipline lead to personal Christian discipline? This was written a long time ago in something called Messenger of Peace, and I'm going to share this because I think it still applies today. A leading churchman recently said, to our forefathers, Christian faith was an experience. To our fathers, it was an inheritance. To most of us, it is an inconvenience. To our children, it has become a nuisance. No doubt, he was generalizing, says Messenger of Peace. But there's much truth in what he said. Many a person today is living on the afterglow of his parents' faith, and his own children are doomed to live on the afterglow of that afterglow. One shudders to think of the diluted faith which will be passed along to the grandchildren of today's adult generation, end quote. And folks, I tell you that when that was written, the irony and the strangeness of this is that we are now that generation. We can look around and we can understand that maybe, just maybe, there is a lack of personal Christian discipline. So instead of diluted faith, how can adults reinvigorate or restore or reinstitute their faith? It requires personal Christian discipline. Now, typically, we see personal, not necessarily Christian, but personal discipline exercised every year about this time of year. For example, it comes in the form, and many of you might say, I'm part of this right now. It comes in the form of diets, workout regimens, the breaking or curbing of bad habits, or simply, and some might just say, you know, simply just determining to do with regards to your lives, to just do something different. Intentions are, if you think about it, intentions are always great in January, and then we become indisciplined by February, and then we become disinterested by March, and then we become angry in April, and then I want to talk about May through December, because that's not pretty. And many of you might even say, you know what, I'm already there. I mean, you just said I'm going to become undisciplined. I'm already undisciplined. I've already failed my diet. I'm not stuck true to my workout regimen. Personal discipline is difficult when the very biblical teachings, formulas, and doctrines that were used to rear us and discipline us as children are ignored or forgotten. And when that happens, in many cases, we start to feel all alone. We think we're the only ones going through it, or we may even think we can't deal with it. But we have to know today that we can. Pastor Gene Cease once said this, one test of discipleship is discipline. Obedience to the Christian faith includes belief and practice of Jesus' teachings. Now, just for a moment, think about this. You see, if we weren't disciplined as children, the likelihood of us understanding discipline as adults is significantly decreased. If we're following that chronology, we will know, chronologically speaking, that we have a better chance of being disciplined when we're children to become disciplined adults. But many people today will say, I'm not disciplined as a Christian adult, but I want to be, and I'm going to know how to be. If we want and expect our Christian discipline to work, as we discussed last week, regardless of whether it is parental or personal, folks, it is non-negotiable. It must always be biblical. And I can't stress this enough. If you say, I want to be a personally disciplined Christian, I will tell you this, it will always come from the Bible. Always. And anything and everything that you need to know will come from the Bible. And some people might even say, I can't believe it. You mean it's going to tell me how to lose weight and gain financial success and move forward in my job and how to have a better marriage and how to raise better children? I'm going to say yes and yes and yes and yes and yes and yes. It is in there. You will learn from it in there. We will grow from it when we read from it in there. And this is incredibly important to talk about today. All discipline can be found in Scripture. In essence, our personal Christian discipline must start with the reading and studying of our Bibles. Now, here's what I know most people, when we start talking about this, most people say, I don't have time, or I don't like to read, or I'm just not into that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, I can come to church and I'll sit and listen to you, but that's about it. Now, regarding this discipline and this dedication, let me tell you how it works. If you say, I never have the opportunity, let me promise you this, God will give you the opportunity. If you say, regarding reading or studying, I don't have the ability, I'm telling you, based on John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability. But here's the thing I can't change. It's up to you to determine your availability. You see, that's where we come into it. And this is where discipline falls in line with it. Because if we say, I'm not available to read my Bible, God says, then I have to move on and share my truths with someone else. This is where we're at as a society, folks, because a lot of people today have said, I don't need your word, God. In fact, many people believe that they can have God as their Lord without his word. It is a dangerous place to go when we think like that. The word discipline comes from the Latin word disciplina, which means learning or teaching. Now, we read Matthew 28:18-20 a lot in the Covell Community Church. It's one of my favorite passages, but it's also a powerful passage that gives us an indication of what we're supposed to do as Christians. I'm going to read this again. If you say, it sounds familiar, it's because we read it last week and probably the week before. So here it goes. But you're going to hear some words that are very strong, and this is where we learn Christian discipline. Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 28:18-20. He told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, here it comes, therefore, go and make disciples. There's your root word for discipline. Go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then it gets really important. And Jesus says, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, folks, this is not only a commandment, it's not only a precept, it is a commission. It is the commission on how we learn discipline. It is to go out and long to make disciples, but then, it doesn't stop there, but then we are told to go out and then teach these disciples. Now, many people might say, well, what do we teach them? And the answer is we teach them what God tells them. We give them God's word. How many people are capable of teaching God's word? You see, to teach it, we got to read it. To understand it, we have to understand it, and then we have to share it. And a lot of people today, and you'll find this to be true, a lot of people today will come up and they'll say something like this. Hey, you go to church. Now, you always want to be scared when someone says that, okay? Hey, you go to church. What they're indicating is, I don't, and I have a question. At that point, you better start really, really thinking. Because here's what most people will do. They'll say, hey, you go to church. I have a question. Normally, when we're faced with that, all of a sudden your mind's screaming like, oh, no. Ask me anything. Ask me about the stock market, sports. I don't care, but just don't ask me about the Bible. Yeah, you know, I just thought there was something in the Bible that talks about, and instantly, normally, our minds might be like, they're going to find out I go to church but don't read the Bible. This is bad. You see, many people want to learn. Many people need to be taught. The question is, if we're not disciplined enough to learn how to teach, well, then who teaches? Now, typically, it's society. And I don't know about you, but I'm not really that comfortable with society talking about Scripture. In fact, I'm scared to think about what society would teach people about Scripture. If we're going to be Christian disciples who are disciplined, we are going to be constantly reading and learning. And here's the irony. That takes discipline. You see, it's going to take discipline for us to say today on January 17th, today's the day I start reading Scripture every day. Today is the day I dedicate my life to spending time in God's Word every day. Because today I realize I just cannot come to church, and that's just not enough for me to grow and become disciplined every day. And this is what the requirement is that God puts before us. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, listen to this, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, powerful words indeed, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. You see, to be personally disciplined, we must exercise our faith by the reading and the studying of God's Word. Now, let me tell you this. This is not a weekly regimen. This is a daily event. You see, here's what we're going to do for Faith Covenant Community Church. As our wonderful leader said, we're a small, independent church. We open our doors twice a week, unless you need counseling or unless you want to come in and spend time with my wife when she cleans, which you can do that. I don't think you'd want to do that, but you can. But 2 days a week, we open the doors, and here's what we do when we open the doors. When we open the doors, we open the Word every time, without fail. We do not come in here and share our own opinions and ideas unless it has to do with sports. Otherwise, we're sharing God's Word. We're opening the Word when we open the doors. And by doing that on Wednesdays and Sundays, we provide you with your daily Scripture reading. Look at the list. Dan and John do such an amazing job of listing this. They don't do it because they like doing it. They do it because they know that they have to do it to get those words out there to our congregation. My hope is that when you see these words, you're writing them down, every one of them, so you can go home and study them. This gives you the impetus and the opportunity to study those words. But my point is, and this is incredibly important, when you come in here, if we give you Wednesdays and Sundays, that means that you're on your own Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That means that you have to be disciplined when we're not here functioning as a church and sharing God's doctrine. It's your responsibility. It is your availability. And let me promise you this, God will give you the opportunity. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has filled you and given the ability. It's up to us. It's up to us to read the Word that tells us about Jesus. The question is, are we doing it? Do we want to do it? Let me give you an example. Can you imagine if you went to work and today's the 17th? Can you imagine back on December 17th if you were at work and you went up to your workmates and you said, hey, I am all about losing weight. And this year I commit to losing weight. In fact, I'm going to go on a diet January 1st. And tomorrow, January 18th, you walk into work and they say, hey, how's your diet going? You say, it's great. I mean, it's really great. They say, really? How you doing it? And you say, oh, one day a week, I am watching what I eat. But 6 days a week, I eat whatever I want. And they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, but are you losing weight? No. But I feel great because those 6 days a week, I love my cookies. You know, at the office, I have a cheat. I'm on a pretty strict diet, and so I have two cheat days, Fridays and Sundays. I love Fridays and Sundays. But I am so upset with my office right now because at my office, they bring in donuts all the time. And how dare they? I just wish they would learn to bring the donuts on Fridays. You know, just do that. Can you imagine if you went up to someone and said it at work back on December 17th, you said, hey, I am going to get strong in 2016. And they say, well, how is it going? You say, it's going great. Really? Tell me about it. Well, I work out one day a week. 6 days a week, I do nothing. Actually, I do nothing 6 days a week. But that one day a week, I am absolutely committed. Now, folks, let me tell you real quick. I mentioned earlier we have bodybuilders in this church. Kurt and Logan and Griffin's getting there as well. I remember when Logan was like 120 pounds. He could fly. He was like a gnat. I mean, he's tiny. And I look at Logan now. Logan is built of rock. It looks like they've put sack creed in him. And if you feel him, you'll feel it. But I'm going to ask you something. I'm just curious. Logan, how often do you work out? How many days a week? Okay, there we go. So my point is, would you be that big if you worked out one day a week? No. Kurt, would you be that big if you worked out one day a week? My point is, folks, if we think that we're going to become personally disciplined as Christians by just coming and sitting in on a church service one day a week, I'm going to tell you, you won't. And you can't. Now, this applies. We look at it and we say, well, it's New Year's resolutions. It's about working out and feeling out and getting better and becoming better. And I'm telling you this. If you say, I want to be successful. If you say this, I want to be a disciple. I'm going to tell you this isn't enough. I'm going to tell you, sitting in on a church service on Sunday mornings where we feel so good about ourselves that we come in on a Sunday morning, it's never going to be enough. We have got to long to read God's word because he is our Lord. This is critical. And when people say, I'm dieting one day a week, I'm working out one day a week, that's not discipline. It's just not. And you're not going to look much different, and you're not going to feel much different. Earlier we read about the young adults leaving the church in that study. Here's why. Because they became undisciplined in their worship and their studying and their reading of God's word and doctrine. That's the way it happens. I was there. Personal Christian discipline starts with the reading and studying of God's word, because God's word has everything that we need to know about living a disciplined Christian life. Warren Bennis once said, "Readers are leaders." Disciplined Christian lives start with reading God's written word. In the perfect chronology, it was taught and encouraged by our parents, which should then encourage us to read it and teach it as adults. But here's what happens when we don't. I want to read to you Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Now, I'm going to interrupt myself as we go here. These are strong words, folks. So let me just interrupt as I teach these words. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Here's what the reader says. Listen closely to these words. He says, "You've been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you've dropped back to the place where you need someone to teach you all over again the very first principles in God's word." Now, let me interrupt myself for just a moment. When we were growing up, we didn't go to Sunday school. If we did, it was rare because we didn't want to. My mom wanted us to. We just didn't do it. And so I can tell you that I understood the very, very first principles in God's word. I can tell you that if someone came up and said, "Tell me about Noah," I'd say he had a boat. I can tell you about this guy named Joseph and a coat. I can tell you about Jesus and the cross. I can tell you about Moses and the sea. That's all I knew. And so I could give you the very first principles in God's word, but if you wanted more, I didn't know more. I didn't have more. And so when I grew up, I learned that if I wanted to grow, I had to read more. And so when I was baptized at 10, I had a King James Version Bible with red print that was tiny. I could see then. And I would stay up at night and I would read that thing through. And I learned, I made myself learn because I wanted to be disciplined and I wanted to be a better Christian. And I understood how important it was to read that old King James Version. I can open that Bible today and all the pages fall out. I wore that Bible out because I knew how important it was. Listen to this. "You're like babies who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. And when a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong." Folks, if someone comes up to you and says, "Tell me the difference between right and wrong," I would hope that you would never offer your opinion unless it comes from God's doctrine. Because this is what society is doing today. They're telling people what is right and what is wrong without endorsing or embracing God's word, and it's pulling everybody further away in this world. You know who knows about right and wrong? God knows about right and wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts us about right and wrong, and we have to love him and trust him for this. Moving on. It says he's still a baby Christian. "You will never be able to eat solid spiritual food and understand the deeper things of God's word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right." And I just want to say this right now. We do not talk just about Noah and his boat and Joseph and his coat in our Bible studies. We do not. When we gather Wednesday night, we take the word and we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we share things and how they apply to the things that happen to us on a daily happening within our own lives. So if you say, "Well, what do? Just read in Bible study?" We don't just read in Bible study. We talk in Bible study. It's deep and it is in depth and it's fun. We laugh. We share. We have marriage counseling. It's great. And we grow. And this is what we have to learn to do, is to find the deeper things in God's word. If someone comes up and says, "Tell me what you know about Noah," I would hope that we would know more than he was on a boat. I wish that we could share with people how much faith he had. what he was dedicated to do, how he followed God, and the triumphs and the challenges that he faced. There are things that we need to know to grow as disciplined Christians. Personal Christian discipline is learned and read about in God's Word, and it teaches us how to live and survive and thrive in the world. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. This is our sermon text today. I will tell you, folks, there are just some passages I have this visual on. This is one of those passages, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Every time I read it, I think about Rocky training when he's fighting Clubber Lang in Rocky 3 and Ivan Drago in Rocky 4, because he is so ripped and he's so strong, and I just think this kind of sounds like Rocky. So Apostle Paul, there you go. I never thought I'd compare the Apostle Paul to Sylvester Stallone. Here we go. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. By the way, Paul was not a fan of participation trophies. He didn't endorse them. He says, so run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup, but we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. Otherwise, I feel that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Logan, Griffin, and Kurt, you live by these tenets and principles every day when you go into that gym to work out. You fight to look better, to feel better, to do better within your own lives and with your own bodies. Is that accurate? It is the same thing that we will plug into when we say, I want to become more disciplined as a Christian. I'll work out every day. I'll read every day. I'll study every day because I want to be better because Jesus expects me to be the best. Isn't that what Paul just said? That's what he expects. Now, verse 25 is interesting because it says, Paul says, deny yourselves. Deny yourselves. Now, this is indeed a form of discipline. Denial is a form of discipline. When I was growing up, and I said last week, that my mom and dad were very large, strong proponents of spanking. They got to practice it a lot with me. And I will tell you, I didn't like it at the time, but it was beneficial, and I see that right now at this time. Thank you, mom and dad. May I have another? So with that said, though, there was a time where it would have become very uncomfortable for them to say, you're 16 years old. Bend over. That wouldn't have worked. That would have been odd for everybody. So what they did is they went from spanking to grounding. And to be honest, I preferred the spanking. So with the grounding, what I had, I got denial. They denied me things. They denied me privileges and opportunities and my car. Did I mention my car? And that was very frustrating for me. And I learned every time they grounded me and every time I couldn't go out with my friends or hang out with my girlfriend or do whatever I was doing, I was reminded by that action that I didn't want to do it again. That's what denial does. You see, denial is a form of discipline. It is a way of teaching. And my question is, how many are actually doing it? Because if you're dieting, you're denying. You're denying yourself the very things that you want to eat. Yesterday, this is kind of a tradition in our house. Now, Saturdays, keep in mind, if you're paying attention, Friday's Sunday cheat day, Saturday's not. My wife is a cruel woman because she goes every Saturday morning to Krispy Kreme and brings me home one Krispy Kreme. And you say, well, how is that possible? We know the numbers. We know the numbers. But yesterday, my wife thought, I probably needed more than one. And so she brought a half of a strawberry filled and a half of a Long John. And she said, I know you shouldn't, but I figure you can probably, I'm going to keep you low in numbers today. I said, great, thank you. And I ate those and I said, are there any others? And she said, yes, but you don't need them. And I said, I know, but I can probably make it work. Strangely, I made it work. By 6 o'clock at night, I thought I was dying of starvation, but it was worth every single bite to eat those three Krispy Kremes. Thank you, Jesus, for Krispy Kreme. Woo! But we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves food. If you say, I want to curb or quit a bad habit, you're going to deny yourself that habit. If you say, I want to change the way I look or feel, you're going to deny yourselves the things that make you look or feel bad. That's what Christianity is, too. It is denying yourselves the very things that you might want to do the things that God wants you to do. Personal Christian discipline starts with reading and studying God's Word. And it has a lot, and God's Word has a lot to say about denial. And many people will say, what do you mean, like denying God? No, it's not denying God. It does talk about that. But rather, it's denying ungodly things. That's what this denial is. It's saying, I know I might want to do this thing, but I know I shouldn't do this thing, and I'm going to deny myself this thing. And folks, that's when you can start to feel disciplined. When you can say no to opportunities, temptations, and sin, you know that you're growing in discipline. This is critical. Exodus chapter 20. Here's how you know you're eating meat, not milk. Exodus chapter 20. First thing you should think of, when I say Exodus chapter 20, you should think of the, well done, Brenda Baker, Ten Commandments. You should think of the Ten Commandments. It should just pop off your mind. First thing, Exodus 20. Oh, he's going to talk about the Ten Commandments. You're such a teacher's pet, Brenda. I love you. Well done. We did not stage that, by the way. Yeah, back row. That's right. That's right. All right. So, Brenda, you don't have to answer this. What are the famous words in the Ten Commandments, King James Version? I think we should probably know them. Hopefully you've stumbled onto them. I did at 10 years of age. Thou shalt not. There you go. The Ten Commandments makes it very clear that we are to deny ourselves things or actions or responsibilities. So listen to this. Number one, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Talk about denial. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Then we're gonna get a couple of thou shalt. So just we're going to break free here for just a moment. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath. Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. Now we're going to get back to the thou shalt, and these are bad. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That means just don't lie. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things. That means you just shouldn't covet your neighbor's things. No, 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 not. Deny, deny, deny. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? For old law, it was good. It was good that God had a purpose for it. He set boundaries and parameters for his people, and he said, just deny yourselves these things. You follow this law, you're going to draw closer to me. Here's what God found out. We're terrible at denying ourselves things. We just kept breaking the commandments. We didn't deny ourselves anything. And so they just kept doing it. God says, all right, let's enhance this plan. Let me teach every one of us about sacrifice. Let me introduce you to my son Jesus. Because now he's going to deny himself. He's going to give you his life. And all of a sudden when he did that, things changed. Because then we really started to understand sacrifice. You see, if we want personal Christian discipline, then we will read God's written word, which teaches us about denying oneself and sacrificing the very things that can destroy ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, listen to these words. He says, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, just come to church on Sunday. You know he didn't say that, did you? See, you're listening. Good for you. That's some discipline there. Good. Many pastors might say that. Not me. He says, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. You see, if we want to be disciplined Christians and follow Jesus, we must know about Jesus, and that can only come from reading his word and then learning how to do the things prescribed by Jesus. Personal Christian discipline is not only, thank goodness, it's not only about denial and sacrifice, but rather, and also, and more so, it's about loving and giving and caring and serving and helping and doing for others. You see, when you find that you're denying yourself, you'll also find that you're helping and giving unselfishly and doing for others. And when you do this, you will realize that you're growing in your personal Christian discipline and you're growing closer to Jesus. This is what he wants from us. The question is, are we doing it? Personal Christian discipline is about these things. Doctor of Theology Roy Matheson once said this. He says, our lives must be disciplined. Only then can we leave the crowd of spectators in the stands and get involved on the playing fields. I think Matheson was probably a sports fan. So when I say Exodus 20, you say Ten Commandments. When I say Matthew 5, you might say, I don't know. The Beatitudes, the blessings, right? The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. You know what Jesus talks about in there? He says, instead of thou shalt not, he says, blessed are. Blessed are. Blessed are the just and the good and the kind and the merciful and the peaceful. You know what Jesus says? He says, deny yourself and do these things for others. He says, then you'll know that you're disciplined as Christians. 1 Corinthians 9:27, King James Version. Paul uses the words preach to others. Other versions use the words enlisting and proclaiming. Are we enlisting, proclaiming, and preaching and teaching others? If so, what are we proclaiming? and preaching and teaching? Is it God's word or the world's words? And let me tell you, in many cases, it's the world's words. In many cases, when we are asked to teach and preach and lead others by this, we don't use this. Give me your opinion. I love when people say, give me your opinion on this. And if it's sports, I will. But if it's any other thing regarding God's word, I will say, you don't want my opinion. You do not want my opinion. You want God's truth. You want God's truth. We teach it, we lead by it right here in this Covell Community Church. 1 Corinthians 9:26. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like Paul, our goal and purpose is to become disciples. And then make and teach disciples. And live lives that are disciplined and dedicated and consistent with the precepts that we daily learn from reading our scripture. And when we do this, we will find consistent success in our daily lives as we attempt to love and serve others while sacrificing and denying ourselves. If you came in today and said, ooh, it's January, he's probably going to do a New Year's resolution thing. He's going to teach me how to lose weight. He's going to teach me how to get strong. He's going to teach me how to be better and do better and be successful. I can tell you this, I'm not. I eat Krispy Kremes on a non-cheat day, all right? I already broke the 11th commandment, no Krispy Kremes on a non-cheat day. You don't need my help. You need God's help. He's the one that can teach you how to accomplish these things. If you want success in the new year, he's the one that can show you what success looks like in the new year. If you say, I want to get rich in the new year, I can tell you I can't do anything about that. I can't, and God might not either. But he can tell you how to be rich in his blessings every single day of the year. Folks, if we choose to do this, we will grow into Christian discipline. But if we choose to live lives that are undisciplined, we then destroy the very tenets and lessons that our Christian parents gave us, and society and family fails. Folks, I'm going to read something to you that I think is one of the most powerful things ever distributed on mainstream media. It's old. It comes from a long time ago. Now, here's the good news. The good news is this circulated about 20 years ago. It is true and it is accurate. When it first circulated on the internet or email, it was inaccurate. I have scrubbed it, I have polished it, and I've cleaned it up, and I've made sure, because I've researched it, to make sure this is exactly the way it appeared and the way it was read on that day. Listen closely to these words, because I still think it applies today. This prayer was given in Kansas at the opening session of their house meeting in 1996, when Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas House on January 23rd, 1996. Everyone was expecting the usual generalities, but this is what they heard instead. This is how Joe Wright prayed. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and we've reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of speech. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will and to openly ask these things in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The response was immediate. It was reported that many legislators walked off, only one. One legislator walked out during the prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church, where Joe Wright pastored, logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of those responding negatively. The church received international requests for copies of that prayer from India and Africa and Korea. Commentator Paul Harvey aired this prayer on his radio program, The Rest of the Story, and received a larger response to that program than any other he had ever aired in history. I'm going to read to you Ephesians 5, 20 through 23 as we prepare to close today. Listen to, this is Ephesians 5, it's verses 10 through 20, but I want to read this very carefully and I want you to listen closely. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 5, this is what Paul says. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Learn. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Listen to this. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness. It's going to sound like Joe Wright here. But instead, rebuke and expose them. It would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness which the ungodly do. But when you expose them, Paul says, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. That is why God says in the scriptures, awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Verse 15, so be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Talk with each other much about the Lord, quoting psalms and hymns and singing sacred songs, making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's word directs us on how to live godly, disciplined lives. The question is, are we disciplined enough? Are we disciplined enough to read His word daily, learn from it continually, and then teach it and act on it faithfully? You see, this requires us to deny ourselves other worldly pleasures. It requires sacrifice. It requires time. And like any diet, workout regimen, and breaking or curbing of a bad habit, success won't come if we don't, as Paul said in verses 25 through 27 of our sermon text, if we don't do it our best with purpose in every step. Are we willing to do our best? Do we have that amount of purpose and drive and passion to fulfill His purpose every single step? Folks, this sermon today is about denying, and it's about doing. And that is how we grow into Christian discipline. We must trust in God's word to discipline us personally so we can grow spiritually. Are we willing to do this? When we walk through the doors of the church, the very first thing that we should think or say is this: what can I do to help and serve God in this church today? When we leave the doors of this church, we should ask ourselves, what can I do to take the church with me and share it with individuals every single day? And when we choose today, I hope that we will, when we choose to read our scriptures and we say, I'll do it, God, because I know you expect it, God, every single day, watch what happens with your lives. Watch what happens, how you feel about your lives, and watch what happens, what God can do within your lives when you plug into His word every single day. This is all about personal Christian discipline. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual Christian discipline, the third and final installment of our sermon series. This is going to be the last one. I promise you, you don't want to miss it because this is good stuff. Folks, we're going to sing a song today as we close. We're going to sing a song that whenever it comes on our vehicle, we turn it up. As I understand, this is a Brenda Baker request. It's taking me back to my days of radio station running, and so I feel like I'm back to being a DJ again. So here we go. This is what we're going to plug into today, a song by Mercy Me. You may crank it up when you listen to it. Let's listen to this song. It's called Flawless. Good. Amen. Man, good call, Brenda. Nice job, Dan. By the way, it can't even get too loud. Just crank it up. That's great. All right, folks. Well, here it is. This is your New Year's resolution sermon. There it is. This is a way to go out and enhance our Christian lives to serve other lives. And it's up to us to follow Jesus by reading His word daily. It's up to us. It's up to us. We'll give you Wednesdays and Sundays. We'll encourage you whenever you want to talk to me, call me, email me, Facebook me. I don't care. But it's up to us to open that Bible each and every day when we're not here. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for discipline. We thank you for parental discipline, which teaches us how to become adults. But now we need to know how to become Christian disciplined adults. And we know that that comes from your word. And so I pray that you'll help us to open your word and read it daily. Help us to commit as families and help us to commit as friends to do this and push us each and every day to do this. I thank you for this time of worship. And I pray now that as we go through these doors, I pray that we'll take this church and our worship with us and share it with others. And I pray that we will follow your perfect will. Thank you so much for all that you've done. We give our lives to you today forever. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.